Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And my lovely co-host is not with me today, but I am joined in studio by an amazing guest who we'll get to in just a moment. But if this is your first time listening to the show, welcome. This is a show for anyone struggling with infertility or miscarriage, or maybe you're building your family through adoption. However God is building your family, and wherever the journey takes you, we just want to let you know that you can cling to Christ. He is more than enough. And today's guest is my sister-in-law, who has struggled with this topic long before I ever even thought about it, and has been a huge encouragement on my journey, and we'll get into that as well. She could probably like just take over the show and do like a month worth of episodes because of all that you have gone through. So thank you for being on the show.
You're very welcome. I'm excited to be here.
Also, backstory, I asked her we have family dinner once a week. I asked her if she'd be on the show, and I was so nervous because I was like, I don't want her to feel like this is a high-profile guest, you guys. So she said yes. So
I happily said yes.
So let's go back to the beginning of your story.
Okay.
First, quick highlights. You have three children that
yes.
you have adopted from different adoption stories. Each one is beautiful and unique, and we'll get to end as many of them as we can on this program. But first, tell us how you and your hubby met and okay. how it all got started.
Okay. Well, we went to the same high school. So we both went to high school together, but we actually didn't start dating until... He's a few years older than me, mm-hmm. so he went to college and moved in with a good friend of mine, and he introduced us, and we went on a date and dated for about 6 years and
okay.
got married.
You knew each other well.
Yeah.
Had you talked about having kids before you got married? Or
we did. We did okay. later on into our relationship because we dated all through college. We talked about, you know, just kind of how many kids we wanted and all that. And
was it kind of just like a given? Like, of course we're going to have kids.
Right. Of course we're going to have kids. And we had actually talked about even closer to mm-hmm. after we'd gotten engaged and things that we, you know, maybe we wanted to have a kid or two biologically mm-hmm. and possibly adopt one day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was in the conversation. But
already on your heart.
Yes, it was already. Yeah. It was already talked about.
Okay. So when did you guys find out that God's plan was going to be adoption for you?
Yes, we were married 2 years, had just built a house. And then we started trying, and we tried for about 9 months to a year. And
the typical, 12 months.
Exactly. And so about that time, we went in for tests, mm-hmm. and it didn't take long, and they gave us a call and just told us there is 0% chance mm-hmm. that y'all will be able to have children mm-hmm. biologically.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course.
Which kind of feels like a door.
Yeah, that was
slammed. Not even a crack.
No, it was slammed. It was okay. slammed shut.
Okay.
So it was a heavy blow. And, mm-hmm. You know, there was definitely some grief that came with that. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we definitely grieved that loss and went mm-hmm. through that. But with that, you know, with the 0% chance at first, you know, I think it really felt... It was heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. But
did you take a day off of work? Like, what? How did
we
you...
did? I took a day or two off work. I was actually at work when I got the phone call.
Oh gosh,
which
that's
was heavy.
Awful.
And so, thankfully, my boss, she was fabulous, and mm-hmm. gave lots of hugs and told me to take the rest of the day off. And I did. Went home, and of course, you know, mm-hmm. cried a lot mm-hmm. of tears. But within, you know, even a few days, we had already started talking about adoption. And that, mm-hmm. I think that was just a natural next page. There was lots mm-hmm. of prayers that went into that. And I think with us already talking about wanting to do that, it was there was no question of what we wanted to do next.
Yeah.
So there was no hesitation of how we were going to build our family. And
yeah.
So we just kind of took that next step.
Yeah. We talk about on the show how, like, adoption isn't like a band-aid for infertility, right. But it is so often that God leads couples to be like, this has been my plan for you all along. Right. Like, this is.
And I think, you know, on the other side of that, three kids later, and we talk about it all the time, I said, I cannot imagine not having those three babies. Mm. You know, I would go through it 100 times for them to, you know, be with us. And so, you know, looking on the, at the end part, it's definitely easy to see what God's plan was for us, and that, that they were meant to be, you know, our kids. And if we would have had children biologically, we wouldn't have them. So,
Well, and they are my nieces and nephews, so I'm very attached. I love those guys. Yes. So, okay, let's just talk about as you were packing away, that path was a no-go.
Right.
Was there any specific things that were hard for you to lay down with biological?
I think the things that come with biological, I think the – and I know even with having biological kids, there's very little control sometimes too with some of that. But I think, you know, as that, you feel like you have a little bit of say-so of, you know, when, you know, you want to start trying and have kids and those things. And
the timing of it.
The timing and even just the characteristics, you know, of having a kid, you know, that has, you know, your eyes or nose or, you know, little things like that. Some of that, you know, we had to lay down and and even now, you know, with our kids now, it's so cool to see God work and, like, the little mannerisms they pick up from us and things they say, you know.
And people that don't know you, like, will be like, oh, my, she has your eyes. So I'll say, like, comments.
Thanks.
Maybe not with your third one, but we'll,
right,
we'll get to that.
Right, yes.
Well, I think it's interesting, like, there were, for me dealing with infertility, there was going through fertility treatments, there were some moments that I had to lay down. Like, I'm not going to get to tell my husband we're pregnant and surprise him.
Yes.
And I had built that up in my head as, like, something I always wanted to do. But infertility was its own journey, and it's our story, and there's different aspects of that that I love that's, like, us. And, like, what I love about adoption is, like, you get that moment of having the call.
Yeah,
and,
that's,
like,
a big moment.
That's a big part of your story.
Right, yeah. And I do think, you know, with that, and we kind of went through the same thing as far as some of that, you know, having the pre-planned baby showers, being able to tell family members, and we did get to experience that just in a different way, you know, and it was just as exciting, so.
Well, let's start with the beginning of your adoption journey.
Okay.
How did it start?
All right. Well, of course, it starts with paperwork.
Uh-huh.
But
mountains
of paperwork.
Which is so not fair. That is one, like, perk of, like, a natural adoption, like, or natural birth. Like, you don't have to, like, they grill you.
The paperwork.
Like, what's the the home study like?
Well, we called, you know, our local agency, and they were great. I did not know where to start, so I walked in to the doors and just told them, hey, we want to adopt. And the sweet
Can we have one of those kids?
Yes, and so the sweet little lady, she took me to the back and just went over everything, and she prayed with me before we left, and just we had a great experience with them. And they so they started us with the paperwork, and they came into our home, and it was not, I mean, they were, our social worker was fabulous. She was so sweet. She went through, you know, they even went through the steps of grief that you need to go through before you start the adoption process, and work through some of that,
and preparing you for what's to come.
Yeah, preparing us for what's to come.
That's a scary journey.
Yes, and something we didn't know a lot about, but they did.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of education with that. The paperwork took about 3 to 4 months for us to complete.
And that's a full-time job. Like, that's a...
Yes.
You have your job and then that job.
But with it, I think, you know, during those 3 or 4 months, it kept us busy. So my hands were busy. I was busy doing things for those 3 or 4 months. And then, you know, you turn your paperwork in, you're with an adoption agency, and then you just wait. And so,
did you make the book? Like the
Well, we did. Our agency, thankfully, they were very helpful with that. We sent in pictures, and they just gave us questions to answer, and they put it together for us. And they did a video too. So they sent us a video camera home, and we.
Oh gosh, I bet you were nervous. Because what
I was
do you say?
Nervous.
Like, pick me.
Yes, please.
We're really normal, but not really. Actually.
Not at all. But so we did all that with the agency, and we signed on in the summer. With them, and just waited. And during the wait, you know, we can reach out if we want any support, but there's really not a whole lot to keep you busy during that time. And so a lot of prayer,
In the back of mind, you're like, my whole life could change at any minute.
Right, at any second. And that's, you know, you're like, is today the day? I don't know, you know, and if you get a call, are you still going to be waiting a few months or?
How much, like, time would you have if you got a call? Like, is it like it could be that day or it could be?
Either way, you could get a call and a birth mom, you know, only be 4 or 5 months along, and y'all kind of get to talk with them and build that relationship through a pregnancy, or you could get a call and the baby has just been born and they need you somewhere ASAP. So
did you decide to get your house and life ready, or was that too painful to do?
We did a little bit. I had a room that just had a guest bed, and mm-hmm. we bought a diaper bag and a blanket, and we just kind of left it at that. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't know, you know, if we got a call, would it be, because we were open to 0 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't know if we would get a call about an infant, which the agency mm-hmm. we went with mainly did infant adoption. So more than likely we would, but it could have also been a 1 or 2 year old.
Yeah, so you're talking crib or toddler bed.
Right.
You're like, I don't even know what to buy.
So we just waited. We kind of had a few friends that were so great, and they told us, they were like, well, you just let us know, and mm-hmm. we will have the room ready when y'all get back home.
Wow,
and
that's
so
incredible.
So with that, we were on the list about 8 weeks, and on our 3 year wedding anniversary.
What?
We got a phone call. I was at the school and where I work, and our social worker called, and she said, so this is the call.
No.
It's like, okay. And anyways, and so she said there, she gave us all the details, and she said, just to let you know, birth mom is in labor right now.
What?
In Florida. And so I called my husband, and he was like, of course, you know, we're very interested. And so he left work and I left work, and we actually
did
left.
Did they know the gender? Like, did they tell you at that
Didn't
point?
Know the gender
okay.
or anything.
Oh, well.
We were just like, yes, you know, we do not care. And so we met at the house, mm-hmm. and they called. I had to talk to him before mm-hmm. we officially accepted. Mm-hmm. And so we met at our house, and we called our social worker back and told her, yes, you know, we'd love to be her mm-hmm. parents. And our, at that point, we didn't know the gender, but she was like, well, I've got some news. You know, she said, it's a baby girl. She just had her. And so mm-hmm. I was picking up the phone to call my mama, and my husband settled me. He was like, put the phone down. He said, pack, and let's get to her, and we'll call. So the whole way to Florida, we called family and told them it was a girl, and got there. And
it has to be a blur. Like,
it was a big blur. So we got there, and it was her feeding time. So we got there and got to meet her and hold her. And the next day, I got to meet her birth parents, which was great. And
how did that feel the first minute they put her in your arms?
It was surreal.
Yeah.
It did not feel real. It was about 2 a.m. mm-hmm. because, you know, it was about a 12-hour drive. So, you know, the nurse came in and told us it was time to feed, and mm-hmm. and then she left out to give us some privacy, but we immediately hit the red button because I didn't know how much to feed her. But, you know, we were not, I was like, I don't know, help me. So she came back in, and she was so sweet. But it was so good. We were, mm-hmm. of course, taking lots of pictures and sending those to family members and mm-hmm. But yeah.
It's interesting, like, I think a lot of birth moms or a lot of adoptive moms think, how am I going to have that instant connection? Like, a birth mom has had 9 months where they're growing inside you. But from my perspective, there's still this moment where you're like, I don't know this person.
Right.
Like, know, so did you feel like an instant connection, or did it take time before you really felt like this is mine?
Yeah. I think with that, I mean, there's definitely an instant connection, you know, when you meet your child for the first time. And, you know, in every state, there's a few days.
And I'm sure different people are different because.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And every adoptive parent I've talked to, it is very different, mm-hmm. you know, and with all the laws of different states, there's a few mm-hmm. days before it's official. Mm-hmm. So even, you know, we got to hold her and take care of her. It was a few days before it was official. So we kept that in mind. And of course, being,
That's
you know,
scary.
It is very scary. And, you know, and then also being respectful of her birth parents and mom and what she was going through at that time. But it is, there's mm-hmm. an instant connection, an instant love that, you know, when you hold that baby and, mm-hmm. you know, just think about, you know, everything it took to get, mm-hmm. to get us to her and her to us. And, mm-hmm. and me and John Adam, you know, talk a lot, just the providence of God looking back. Mm-hmm. If we had not have gotten that immediate no in right mm-hmm. when we started, you know, the mm-hmm. test, we would have waited too long and missed mm-hmm. her because we were only on the list for 8 weeks before we got the call.
Wow.
And so
8 weeks.
What? So it was a very, it was quick, which is not super common.
And your heart was ready, but like normally you have 9 months to prepare.
We thought we were going to wait. We assumed we'd be on the list at least 6 months to a year. And so with that, if we had not got that immediate no, then when we got the no, she was already conceived mm-hmm. and, you know, in there. And so we were praying for a child that we didn't mm-hmm. even know. She was already, you know, mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. So just seeing that, looking back, was It was really cool. Awesome. Yeah.
Well, I know the answer to this, but our listeners don't. Tell us about how your family responded. And
they were extremely excited. I called, you know, we called our parents first, and I'll never forget, my daddy was, he was in a store, and he had to run out and holler. He was so excited, and there's lots of tears, lots of screams, lots of excitement, but when she was born in Florida, and we had to stay there for a two-week time period, mm-hmm. so there were family members that made the 12-hour drive to meet her, and her Uncle E, of course, mm-hmm. had to make a drive. He couldn't wait till we got back home. Yes, and so he came by to see her, but they were over the moon. She was nice and spoiled.
I like hearing the other family members' versions of it, because they're like, every family member has their own.
Has their own different version of it.
They were so vested, and I love it.
Yes.
All right, well, let's go on to the next little goth baby that came into the picture.
Yeah. So, next.
So you knew you wanted another sibling?
We knew we wanted a sibling. And so when, and Hayden, our first kiddo, when she was about two, we were like, okay, let's go ahead and start the process up again. It's probably, mm-hmm. So we took our time with paperwork a little bit. When I say took time, five or 6 months, same agency.
Okay.
And we got on the list. We were expecting at least a year or two wait for her. Mm-hmm. And so we were on the list for 4 weeks.
Four
weeks.
Holy
so
moly.
It was pretty quick too. We were actually at church one night, and I had my watch that had caller ID on it, mm-hmm. and it was about 7:30 one night, and my husband was at the front mm-hmm. of the church leading singing, and I looked down at my watch, and our social worker was calling us after hours, and so I knew when I saw that mm-hmm. that if they needed an immediate response, so I stepped out, answered the phone call, mm-hmm. and we had been picked for another baby that we did not know the gender of, but the birth mom was in Utah, which is a long distance away.
Yeah, you got road trips.
It was
like
instant
road trips.
Yeah, 26 hours away from home.
Wow.
But she was going to be induced the next morning,
yeah.
and so we got his attention from the front yeah. of the church and told him to come outside, and my brother-in-law, while we had accepted, you know, that match, and he was booking us a plane as we were headed home to pack.
Let's just throw this in there. Planes are not your favorite thing.
I am terrified of planes. So,
Kylie Bug, your mama loves
yes,
you.
Absolutely. That's why I asked my brother-in-law, so is there any way we can drive and get there before the birth? And he said, there's absolutely no way you're going to have to get on a plane.
Yeah.
And so I did. And we made it in time for her birth. We got there, and we were able. I was actually able to go into the room when she was being born and cut the cord. So that was a really cool experience.
Oh my word!
And another baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our second, and so that was a sweet time too. So we had family that flew to Utah to meet mm-hmm. her, and that was good.
Well, and at that point, were you thinking, maybe we're done, we're not sure, or did you know it right away?
We thought, really, after two, we were like, okay, you know, I'm good, mm-hmm. we're done, and we were good and content for a little bit at that
not
point.
Not to mention the costs of adoption.
The cost.
Like, the fact that you've adopted three times is the province of God.
Absolutely.
Made a way for that.
Absolutely. But we, you know, at that point, we had, and Hayden was 2.5, mm-hmm. and Collins, newborn,
wow.
and so our hands were very full, we were very busy, and so we felt, we weren't 100% sure we were done, but we felt mm-hmm. pretty sure that we were done.
Mm-hmm.
Adopting and having kiddos, we felt like our plate was full, and we were pretty content at mm-hmm. that point. So anyways, a few years later, we did get a call and about a little girl that, you know, if we were interested in adopting, mm-hmm. and we were, and
at this point you're known as a family who adopts.
Yes,
so
we have adopted
it.
Yes, okay. And so we got a phone call, and the little girl was about the same age as our middle daughter, mm-hmm. so she was two. The mm-hmm. girls were 4 and 2 at this point, and anyway, so we. You know, to make a very long story short, mm-hmm. We brought her into our home for a short time period, about a week and mm-hmm. a half, and that adoption fell through.
Mm.
So that was hard.
People don't talk about failed adoptions. They, ouch.
Yes, and I think that's why there's a lot of emotions, you know, that come with that. And, you know, and after that went through, you know, we definitely grieved that loss, and mm-hmm. We felt like we were done at that point, you know, and then I think on the other side of that, mm-hmm. we were like, you know, just one more.
It had just created enough desire.
That we were like, okay, I think we do want to try this one more time. Hmm. And so with that, we did some fundraiser type stuff. Mm-hmm. When I say fundraiser, I guess we renovated a house, our own fundraiser. Yeah. We bought and renovated a house, and to be able to have the funds to adopt again.
It is ridiculous how much adoption costs when you are donating your time and energy to help, raise someone. And that's one thing I'd love to see change in our country. I know there's charities and there's scholarships and there's all of it, but it's a lot on parents that want to adopt.
It's a lot on the family, for sure.
Especially if you want siblings. But
yes, it is a lot on the family.
Willing to make the sacrifice, and then.
But with that, we started paperwork again, and mm-hmm. And our girls. I think what was really cool this time is, at this time, our girls were 6 and 4. Mm-hmm. And so they were old enough to understand, and adoption is a very open topic in our mm-hmm. house. It is something we talk about. They, ask questions. Mm-hmm. We answer it as age appropriate as possible. Mm-hmm. But they got to see the process that we went through to get mm-hmm. them.
That's
and
cool.
So there were a lot of good conversations that went on during that time of adopting mm-hmm. our third. And
that had to be affirming for them to see, your desire.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so we started that process, and we were matched mm. and we did find the gender out of our next one. Earlier. Was a little boy.
Okay.
And
did you specifically request a little boy, or was that still you were open to whatever?
We were open to whatever. I think, just because we had two girls, I would have liked a little boy.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we got the email about him, accepted that, and he was Pacific Islander.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, guys, he's gorgeous. He is gorgeous. And watch out, ladies, in a few years.
He is precious. But so we got to, build a relationship with his birth mom over those mm-hmm. months.
And that was different.
That was very different, because the girls, we got an immediate call, and with him, she was 4 or 5 months pregnant mm-hmm. when we got the call. Mm-hmm. So there were still some months to go. So we got to learn a lot about her and about that culture, which is very, really cool, because we want him to understand, mm-hmm. some of that. And
now, I remember this time, because I was in the
picture
for this one.
This time.
But do you think the failed adoption and the fact that you had this ongoing relationship made it scarier for you?
Yes, I definitely think on the third,
you had time to try to think about something.
Right. And I do think with the first two, there was none of that time to really worry and think about that. And with number three, there was lots of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I remember you trying to stay very busy.
Yes, I stayed very busy there in that time, getting everything ready. But we got a call that, his birth mom, she had the nurse call that she was in labor and being born. So we got there just a few hours after he was born mm-hmm. and got to hold him and the girls.
All boy.
He is 100% all boy. But then our daughters got to come and meet mm-hmm. him and spend time with him and in the state that he was born in. And that completes our family. So
that's incredible. Well, what advice do you give to people that are considering adoption and are nervous about starting this process?
I think, nerves, I think, are always going to come with it. But on the other side of mm-hmm. it, I would go through every mm-hmm. single bit of that, mm-hmm. To have the kiddos that we have. And even, experience in the failed adoption mm-hmm. That we did, it was absolutely do it mm-hmm. again to have our mm-hmm. kids and the ones that are in our house, because I can't imagine mm-hmm. life without them. And it's opened the opportunity up for me and my husband to really talk to other families mm-hmm. and to other people that are looking at adoption and to encourage mm-hmm. them. And I always tell them, I'm like, I just wish you could feel what I feel mm-hmm. on the other side of it.
Yep.
And it's definitely natural to go through the whole process, the grief, the highs and lows, we call it, just a roller coaster journey of emotions, mm-hmm. really, as you're going through some of it. But it is 110% worth it. Mm-hmm. And those kids, I cannot imagine loving my three babies
anymore. And you wouldn't be
anymore.
Who you are without them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have changed me as much mm-hmm. as anything. So.
Well, you talked about helping other families. I was one of them.
Yeah.
I remember early on when Eric and I found out that infertility was going to be a part of our story. And he was like, you need to talk to Alicia. And actually, we had multiple conversations.
Right.
But I was really encouraging to know that you got it.
Yeah.
And obviously, my story went a different direction. But you were so kind and encouraging. And I remember you gave me a necklace that was it one day closer?
Yes.
And you wore that during, was it all three?
All three, yeah.
So, and did somebody give that to you?
Yes.
What's the story behind that again?
My best friend, sister friend, Megan, she gave that to me when we were waiting on our first adoption. And I put that necklace on at the start of every adoption process. And it just, it really helped me with the mindset of that where I was one day closer to my kid, whether that be tomorrow or whether that be a year from now, that that was one day closer that, you know, to our baby. And
well,
so
having that helped me because I don't know if it's going to be a biological child, but I realized at that moment, like, I do believe that God has a child for us, and it's a matter of how, not when. And so wearing that was a real encouragement, and I kept it because we're still on our journey, and I don't know if the next step, what it will look like, but I hope to pass that on to another young lady sometime. It's like the sisterhood of the traveling pants, but infertility necklaces.
I love it.
Anyways,
I love it.
Thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're very welcome.
It's so encouraging. And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Join us on Facebook. We're streaming. We're on YouTube and all of the places that podcasts are found.